Good morning again, and welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman. The last few sessions, we've been talking about developing a long-lasting love. Yes, this is Valentine's season, and yes, that's what so many of us want. But if you're a young person, if you're a young adult, or maybe even a middle-aged adult, and you haven't been able to develop that long-lasting love relationship, I want to share something with you that I trust will be a help to you. It's a letter, true letter, written to me about 5 years ago from a young lady that was a member of our church, a member of our youth group, a member of our Christian school, went off to a Christian college and graduated. But there was something going on in her heart that very few people saw. She was ready to break out. She was ready to walk away from God, walk away from Christian environment, to walk away from it all. I read. Hi, Pastor Huffman. I hope you don't mind my writing. I guess it's tough toenails if you do. But I thought about you today as I began my first Sunday after joining my new church. Well, below is the text from my blog for tonight. I thought you might be interested. Anyway, have a pleasant day. Tell Mrs. Huffman I said hello. In Christ, and she signed her name. Here's her blog, January 21st, 2007. Church. It's been a great, although very busy day. Tonight, though, I just wanted to talk about church for a bit. I grew up in church. By that I mean that my mom took me to church since I was a baby, and I was expected to go as long as I lived under her roof. As you guys know, I also grew up in a Christian school. I got my undergrad degree at a Christian college. As you probably already guessed, I've been inundated with all things religious for as long as I can remember. Unfortunately, God and church and Christianity and spirituality really didn't take for me. At some point, I think it was in my high school years, it just all became ho-hum. I've heard it all before, over and over, ad nauseum. To me, church was about going somewhere I didn't want to go, to hang out with people I really didn't fit in with, and to hear talks about things I really wasn't that interested in. Somewhere along the way, being a Christian became all about rules and regulations, and don't do this or that, or do this and do that, and etc. It became about appearing to be righteous on the outside in order to maintain the status quo, while screaming on the inside that I would rather be eating dirt than listening to one more sermon. I sang in the choir, I taught children, I spoke at the jail ministry, I even played the piano for a couple of churches. But I swore that as soon as I could, I was going to blow off that church thing and live my life the way I wanted to. Church bored me. Infinitely. To tears. And so, I did. I got out of college and was no longer required to go to church, and I stopped going. Briefly, I worked for an organization which also required attendance at church, but as soon as I left there, I stopped going again. And I enjoyed it. Immensely. There was nothing like having freedom on the weekends. The entire weekend. I didn't have to get up and dress and go anywhere on Sunday if I didn't want to. I didn't have to worry about what other people thought about the way I was living my life. So I didn't. I lived it just like I saw fit. I fell further and further away from the way I'd been raised and from the teachings I'd believed as a child. And by doing so, I hurt myself. Irreparably. I made bad choices. I allowed my emotions and my pride to dictate my choices. And I ended up alone. Lonely, emotionally drained, and cynical. I lost my sense of humor. I lost my unshakable confidence that I was leading a charmed life, and that everything would turn out fine in the end. I lost my faith. Well, I didn't exactly lose it so much as I threw it away. I turned my back on all of it. But God didn't turn his back on me. He was there. The whole time. He saw everything I did. He heard everything I said. He watched all my bad choices. And he hurt for me. Because he knew I was hurting myself, He knew where it was all going to lead, but he also knew that one day I'd come back to him. And when I did, he was ready with forgiveness and grace. Because in reality, he's all there is to come back to. He took away everything from me that I'd been depending on for happiness and contentment in my life. My self-confidence, my laughter, my parents, my pride in my work, most of my friends, my boyfriends, even my comfort foods. He took away my joy for living and my peace. He took away everything except his word and my knowledge that, through it all, he's been softly calling my name to come home, whether I wanted to hear him or not. So I have. I find it so ironic that the churchness that I've been avoiding for the last 10 years is now something I desire very much. I want to attend church Sunday morning. I want to attend our life group meetings on Sunday night. I want to attend the Bible study on Wednesday night. I want to not only get involved, to serve, and to see God continue to make changes for the better in my life, but also be a small part in the good changes he makes for someone else. When did it happen? Why did it happen? Contrary to what some of my relatives like to believe, it's not the influence of my mother alone. She's over 500 miles away now. It certainly isn't the influence of my father. I'm pretty sure it's the influence of Christ. He knew I would eventually come looking for him, and he was right where I left him. I finally found the church he wants me to be a part of, and for the first time in my whole life, I feel like I fit in there. It's not always easy to get up and go on Sunday morning, and a dozen other things I wanted to do today, but I'm finally seeing that God is throwing me a lifeline to shatter my self-imposed isolation, along with my stubborn refusal to acknowledge him in my life. That lifeline is church. My church. Who would have thought it? You see, when we reach the point that we decide to go our own way, for a while, God allows us to do that. But did you notice what she said? She said, God allowed me to make all of those choices, but I ended up alone, lonely, emotionally drained, and cynical. I lost my sense of humor. And I'm so thankful that she said God never turned his back on her, because he didn't. The songwriter said, he was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. And he is. And he's there waiting for you as well. Whatever you've been going through, whatever reasons you've been giving for wanting to blow this church thing, to leave home, to leave your Christian friends, to leave your church and the leaders in your church, whatever you've been going through, remember what my friend has said. God took away everything from me that I'd been depending on for happiness and contentment in my life. You see, we can choose to sin, but God chooses the consequences. And if you know Christ as your personal Savior, he's not going to allow you to walk away from him and be happy. The Bible says there are pleasures in sin for a season. But you know what happens to seasons? They come to an end. At the end of a season, the planting season, shall we say, there always comes a harvest. That's the way God designed it. And the harvest that you and I are about to reap is based on what we've been sowing. And if you've been sowing rebellion and cynicism, if you've been sowing stubbornness and getting your own way. Well, that's been your season, but there will be a harvest time coming. And all of a sudden you begin to realize that that which you were looking for contentment and joy and peace and satisfaction is no longer there. Because God said, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. See, God knows what's best for you because you're His child. He made you. There is a path that God said He wants you to walk. Oh, but there are so many other paths that He doesn't want you to walk. Not because He's mad at you. Not because He wants to restrict you and keep you from happiness, but because He knows the end result of that path. You don't. And as a 66-year-old man, I can sit here today and say, I wish I could share so many lessons with those who are starting down their paths and who are determined. Oh, this is a wonderful path. This will be so much fun. Oh, it may not be the path that my parents want me to take or my pastor or youth pastor want me to be on, but this is a wonderful path. All my friends are on this path. Without stopping to realize that when all is said and done, your friends can leave you just as quickly as the prodigal son's friends left him when he was broke. You see, when you have nothing else to offer, your friends no longer want you. You're used up. You're no longer valuable to them. Then you are alone. And as a prodigal son discovered that he was alone and broke, the same thing is true for you. And so, my friend, I trust that as we've been talking the last several times on developing a long-lasting love, that you will take the life of Joseph, who married Mary, and discover that the principles in his life can be principles in your life as well. And God can give you that long-lasting relationship. But you have to have strong morals. You have to have sincere motives. You have to have a sensitive manner. You have to be serious-minded. And you have to be spiritually mature. As you develop those, it'll be a wonderful life and a long-lasting relationship that God has for you. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a wonderful way.